capture people's attention so they'll want to be here. And so I got to do something kind of crazy sometimes. But anyway, once I get started, you're going to figure out where we're going with this. And we're talking about trust and how trust can be misguided. And we just need to make sure that our trust is in something that's going to be secure. Because a lot of people don't do that. The Bible is full of warnings of where we put our trust and where not to put our trust. In fact, the phrase, "do not trust," is mentioned many times throughout the Scriptures. I think Isaiah has about 8 or 9 different things which the prophet told the people, do not put your trust. I mean, he said, do not put your trust in horses. Do not put your trust in chariots. Do not put your trust in Egypt or the kings of Egypt. Do not put your trust in idols. Do not put your trust in the foreign gods. And it just goes on and on. And a lot of times, these people were sometimes just trusting themselves. And that's dangerous in and of itself, is to trust in yourself. And, of course, we have similar passages that says not to do that, where it talks about trust in the Lord God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So from Proverbs 3 and verse 5. So the problem was that people were willing to put their trust in just about anything other than God. And they still do that today. People do that. You know, the people out there who have been teaching evolution for years, I mean, they're honest enough to admit, well, our theory has a hole in it. Our theory has problems with it. And we're open to any suggestion out there, any suggestion that might fill this gap, but don't mention God. They are so bold to say that. We'll accept any theory out there, but do not bring in God into our picture. So their trust is misplaced. All right. Sometimes we're faced with a decision of where we put our trust. And we all have to make that decision from time to time. And we have to weigh it out. Hopefully we weigh it out. Sometimes we just don't think about it, but hopefully we'll weigh it out. And we just have to remember that putting our trust in anything other than God is like putting your money in a purse or a pocket with a big hole in it. Now, growing up, who didn't have a hole in their pocket at one time? We all had holes in our pocket. I'd find a nice little shiny stone that really pretty. I'm gonna put that in my pocket, and when I got home, it was gone. Why? Because there was a hole in my pocket. Or I'd find walking down the street, find a nice penny or nickel or dime or quarter. Oh, just go straight in the pocket. And by the time I got home, it wasn't there. I had a hole in my pocket. I had a lot of holes in my pockets growing up. So I had to move my valuable stuff into the other pocket that didn't have a hole in it. And we're all, that's the way we all are, right? If you're constantly losing things, you don't want to lose it, so you put it in a secure place. All right, so what little we do have will disappear and be lost from us. If we don't put forth little, it's going to be taken away from us. Remember the parable that Jesus taught about the talents? Gave one man 5, one man 2, and the other servant, he gave him 1 talent. The man with the 5 worked it, and he doubled it. And so he was blessed with the riches. The man who had 2 talents, he doubled that, and the master was pleased with him and gave him reward. But the one who only had the 1 talent, he was lazy and slothful and didn't do any effort, didn't even put it in the bank to collect interest. And so here's your money back. And the landowner was furious. The master was furious because he didn't even make any effort at all. And if the guy would have put his money in, let's say some guy comes along, hey, I got this great deal here, just invest in this here and you'll make lots of money. Well, that sounds like a good idea. And if he lost it all, well, at least say, you know what, I tried. I mean, the guy didn't even try. So what did Jesus say? Take that away from him which he has. What little he does have, take it away from him. And so, that's going to happen with us. What little we do have is going to disappear from us. Now, there's things we put our trust in that prove empty. Now, some people might argue about this. In fact, a lot of people are going to argue with me on this. But there's things that we put our trust in that prove empty. Material pursuits. Oh, we got to make the money. We got to have things. We got to buy a house. Got to have a car. We got to have this. We got to have that. And it's just things that... What happens when you get those things? You got to have more, right? Yeah. Most of us are like that. Once we get the thing we've been pursuing, it was the thrill and the excitement of getting to that that kept us going, and that's going to take us to the next pursuit that we want to go after. And so these material pursuits, they're really going to be empty. As we look at that, we put in our trust in things. And you can amass all these things, but what's going to happen to these things? You know, the writer in Ecclesiastes talked about that. Says you get all these things gathered up, you have all this stuff surrounding you, you're up there, and then you die. What's going to happen to that stuff? You have no control over that. You have no say over it. Somebody else is going to do that. They may mess it up. They may tear it up. They may throw it in the wood pile and burn it. You have no control. That's what happens when we put our trust in things. And some things might make our life easier. I mean, microwaves and, of course, washing machines and electricity. These are things that make our life easier. And it's really, if we've gotten to that point where it makes our life easier, we really don't want to do without. But those things cannot secure our soul. And that's something that we have to remember. Nothing that is material can secure our soul. Nothing at all. Even Paul talked about that. Talked about the carnal things. They do nothing for our soul. See, in Luke 12, 15, Jesus said, to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." See, the problem is when those who have a lot of possessions, guess what? Look what I did. Nobody helped me get here. And usually when they say that, they're including God in that nobody. I did it all on my own. And so I don't need God. See, while we may feel successful if we have a lot of things, we must remember that we cannot take it with us when we die. Remember what Job said in chapter 2? He said, "Naked came I into this world, naked will I leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So, we can't take it with us. You know, some people think they can. That sometimes you might see that little cartoon. Here's this hearse driving the road, pulling a U-Haul trailer. And said, "Well, I guess you can take it with you." But now, when we leave this life, we can't take anything with us. Our possessions, about the only thing that we're going to take with us when we die, and get this down, the only thing we're going to take with us when we die is our personal relationship with Christ. If we don't have that, we're going to miss it all. But that's the only thing we're going to take with us. We're not going to take our money. We're not going to take, literally, our name. We're not going to take our character or anything like that. If we don't have a relationship with Christ, we're going out of this world like we came in, naked. In Matthew 6, Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." There's a lot of things we can do to lay up treasure in heaven. And you think about those things. And it's not the memorizing scriptures or things like that. It's doing little things for others. You know, we teach our class on Sunday morning about our relationships. When we're doing things for others and helping others and being a servant to others, those are the ways we store up treasures in heaven. Doing good deeds for others and helping others find the truth. These are all things that help us lay up treasure in heaven. But if we spend all our time building up our personal financial portfolio and thinking, okay, we're doing good, we're doing great, what good is that going to do you when you die? It's not going to do any good at all. But if you've been preparing yourself for heaven and you want to do things, you help people find heaven, that's how you lay up treasure for yourself in heaven. And that's where our heart needs to be, doing those things and not being selfish. See, we must never lose sight of the real purpose in our lives. And what is that purpose? It's to glorify God in our actions and in our example. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the whole purpose of life for us, is to glorify God. It says, let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And that's right. Let your light so shine before men. Kind of left that part out. But yes, before others, so that they may see your good works. In 1 Peter 4:11, talks about, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone serve, let him do so by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified. And here's something you can do. Take your New Testament and open up just to any page in the New Testament there, and somewhere on that page, in that opening, you're going to see something that should motivate you to give God the glory. There's something there. Every book has something there talking about our purpose to glorify God. And so all we have to do is look for it. It's there. All right, Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So there it is. And what do? When we keep his commandments, we glorify God. All right, let us not forget that is why we are here. We're here to glorify God. We're not here for our personal whatever. We're here to glorify God. It's more important than making wages. Making our life suitable for God is so much more important. Now, some people want to get that luxury lifestyle. Some people live it and they really can't afford it, so they go into debt tremendously. But that's the way people are. But more important than making the wages and then getting these things and these possessions, what are you going to do with it? I look at my house. Okay, I've got a kitchen cabinet that's got eight large plates and eight small plates. Now, that's kind of like seven too many when you think about it right now. But I go into the dining room, and in this cabinet over here, there's a whole set of dishes. This cabinet over here, there's a whole set of dishes. And y'all didn't even see the set of dishes that was down underneath. What are they? They're just things. And what is that going to do for my soul? Absolutely nothing. Now you walk into Barbara's house there, you see all those dolls up there. She's very proud of those dolls. She loves them. But guess what? Can one of those dolls save her soul? No, they're just things. I'm not saying hobbies are bad. Just don't put more of your emphasis into the hobby than you do in your Lord. All right. So we have to realize God will take care of the rest for you. We know that. The promise from Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and God will add and supply all your needs. See, material things will not endure. They're going to pass. Just like the rest of this world, we read there in 1 John 2:15-16, the world is passing away with its lust thereof. And the things of the world are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These will all perish with the using. It's all going to perish. But what is going to remain? Like I said, for us, the only thing that should remain, that we should be working on remaining, is our personal relationship with Christ. Matthew 16:26, for what will a man be profited if he gain the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I mean, that's a good question. And a lot of people just ignore this. See, another thing that proves empty is the doctrines of men. Now, we've been talking a lot of that about that lately. We talked about what the true Church of Christ is. We're talking about denominationalism. We've got about four more sermons on that subject. And it's the doctrines of men. That proves empty. It is empty and vain worship. Matthew 15:9 tells us that. You know, they have these doctrines like they put their trust in like faith only. Oh, they love that doctrine, faith only. And it only exists because of ignorance. People don't know their Bible, so the guy says, hey, that sounds pretty good. I mean, they don't have to change their life one bit. If they're a prostitute, just keep being a prostitute, making that money, and you don't have to change, but you got faith, so you're okay. No, it doesn't work that way. They do promote it as being a doctrine full of comfort. Why wouldn't it be? You could do whatever you want to do. If you want to go rob a bank, nothing wrong with that. As long as you have faith, you're okay. But those people who say, I believe in faith only, you ask them, do you believe in God? All right, you already stumped them right there. Faith only. Do you believe in God? Well, okay, it's faith in God that you're supposed to have. That's the faith only. Do you believe in Christ? All right, you've already, they said, when they say yes, okay, now you already believe in three different things right there. Now, what's it going to be? You said faith only, which eliminates everything else, but yet you say you believe in God, you believe in Christ, do you believe in the Bible, do you believe in the church, do you believe in truth, do you believe in... You just keep going on and on. Those people who teach faith only, they have no idea what they believe. And if you try and get them to explain it, they'll start arguing with each other. All right, the truth of the matter is that God requires more than faith alone. And we have that in the scriptures. In James 2, verses 14 through 20. What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but have not works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and lack of daily food, and one of you say unto them, go in peace, be ye warmed and filled, and yet give them not the things needed for the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. Yea, a man will say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I by my works will show thee my faith. Thou believest that God is one, thou doest well. The demons also believe and shudder. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren? See, just wearing the name of Christ, which a lot of people do, they just wear the name of Christ, and that's going to prove empty. Because eventually, if that's all they're doing, it's going to come out and people are going to figure it out. They're going to see, okay, this person claims to be a Christian, but they're acting like the world. And so, I mean, they're just wearing the name. And that doesn't do any good. See, some call this halfway Christianity. But even Paul had to deal with this. And we should be living as if Christ is guiding us in all that we do. And he should be guiding us in all that we do. We're to apply all diligence. You know, 2 Peter 1:5, applying all diligence you add to your faith. And we're supposed to be supplying all diligence in the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace, in keeping God's words and keeping God's commands. and applying the things he wants us to apply. See, the problem we have is that many feel that by giving a few hours to God on Sunday morning will allow them the rest of the time for themselves. Now, I don't know if that's in their hearts, but you look at their actions and you figure it out. You look at their actions and figure it out. You save them a couple hours on, most of them just 1 hour on Sunday morning. And then that's it. Are they dedicating their life to the Lord? Doesn't appear like it. So they're dangerous. They're in a dangerous situation. They're playing with their soul. And it's our job to remind them that their soul is in jeopardy. And they get mad because we step on their toes and they leave. Well, they don't come back for a while. We've done our job, though. See, it doesn't work that way. Our life consists of more than a few hours we assemble each week. And even if you make all the services, our life is more than just the few hours we assemble each week. You break it down, it's about 4 hours where we gather together. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night. 4 hours out of 168. That leaves 164 hours. What do you do with that? Well, you sleep probably 7 or 8 hours a day, so that drops it down to about 90-something hours. And then you work for 40 hours a week, so that brings it down to 50. Well, you got to go eat. You got to do this or that. You got a lot of time on your hands, folks. If you don't take that time and dedicate it to the Lord to study God's Word and to meditate upon what you've learned, you're wasting a lot of time. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." We understand what he said there. He said, you know, right now it'd be much better if I just die right now and head on up to heaven. That would be great. And that should be the goal that we're all striving for. But he also said, but since I'm not doing that right now, I've got work to do. And that's what I'm going to do. And that's what we all need to do. We all need to be busy for the Lord all the time. Because let's face it, when the Lord comes again, would you rather be goofing off? Or would you rather be actively doing something the Lord wants you to do? I mean, it's really common sense that we should look at it that way. See, denominations are bags with holes in them. Because nothing of what they offer can get you to heaven. And it's so sad that there's so many involved in the denominations. And yet they have been deceived, and they're thinking that everything is just fine. They can tell you they believe from the bottom of their heart they're going to heaven. When you know full well that's not what the Bible says. Matthew 7:21 is just as plain as it can be. And people just, they just want to put their trust in the denominations. The people who belong to these groups have been deceived. And they trust in their church, but the scripture teaches what God wants. And these groups are not doing what God has authorized. They're doing a lot of things which he didn't authorize. And that doesn't make them right. See, people put their trust in something foreign to scripture, apart from the scripture. Now, people put their trust in a name God has not authorized in the denominations. Oh, yeah, I'm a good Baptist. I'm a good Catholic. I'm a good Methodist. I'm a good. You know, somehow God doesn't see that word good in front of it. He doesn't pay attention to that. And you can be a good whatever. If you're not following God's word, it doesn't do you any good at all. See, people put their trust in a governing body that God did not set up. They have the hierarchy of the Catholic Church. You know, the Pope, the Cardinals, the Cardinals or whatever, the bishops and stuff like that. All this line down. And just about every denomination has a hierarchy in it where somebody is in charge over groups and districts and regions and things like that. We're going to talk about the governing body of the church next week, next Sunday. People put their trust in themselves. And we're all guilty of this, aren't we? We put our trust in ourselves. I can do it. You know, it's fun to watch a little toddler when he crawls up and then he decides to take that first step away from the couch. And you know, he's just saying to himself, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. He goes down. He needs a little help, right? So, of course, mommy and daddy, they're ready. Okay, come on, hold my finger. Come on, come on, come on. And you guide them along. That's how they grow. We help them along. And they learn that putting trust in themselves isn't always successful. Sometimes you need help. And folks, that's where we are. We have to recognize that sometimes we need help. And that's what we have each other for. To help us. To help us get to heaven. See, just like the people of old, they put their trust in other nations. They put their trust in other gods and other material things. It didn't help them one bit. Their trust turned out to be an empty because they did not trust in God. It's what we need to do is encourage people to put our trust in God and be there for each other. God is our trust. And we have to recognize that. That's where it needs to be in Psalm 118 verse 8. The very central verse of the whole Bible. The very middle verse of the King James Version. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Verse 9 says it's better to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord than in princes or governments. Put your trust in God. You can't go wrong with that. All right, Jeremiah 17, 5 and 6 says, Thus says the Lord, Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony waste in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitants. In other words, they're going to die. But let's look at the contrast, verse 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. Does that remind you of anything? Psalm 1:1? Actually, Psalm 1 verses 3 and 4. Person who puts their trust in the Lord and does not go the way of man will be like a tree planted by the water. But it seems like people put their trust in anything and everything other than God. And until you can do that, until you can put your trust in God, you're putting your trust in a pocket with a hole in it. Putting our trust in anything is like putting your trust in a pocket with a hole. What little you do have is going to be lost. But putting trust in God is a sure thing. We know that. So those who trust Him will not be disappointed. There's a passage in the Proverbs says that, and a passage in Psalms. Whoever trusts in the Lord will not be disappointed. Whoever believes on the Lord will not be disappointed. One of the prophecies of the Christ. Whoever puts their trust in Him will not be disappointed. So that's just something to consider. Where do you put your trust? And we want to encourage you to put your trust in God all the time. Not just on Sunday morning or Sunday night. Put your trust in God all the time. Learn to be like Paul, who says, For me to live is Christ. As long as we are living and breathing, our focus needs to be on Christ and doing His will. And doing the best that we can to help others see that need. We're going to sing our invitation song. If anyone does need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.